Wednesday, March 17th, 2021. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, and I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, and I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, Lord, yielded and still. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for a new day. Thank you, Lord, for a new morning. Thank you, Jesus, for being so wonderful. Glory be to God in the highest. Lord, we worship you, we love and adore you. We give thy name the praise. All the glory and all the honor is thine. We worship you, dear God, this morning. Thank you, Lord. And as we read your word, Lord, open up our understanding. Give us to know what needs to be done. Give us to know how we need to go, what we need to say, or what we need to not say. What we need to do, how we need to behave, what our conversation should be like. Let your will be done in our lives and in our family lives. We're praying for our families. We're praying for our friends, our associates, our business partners, our enemies. Yes, Lord, we're praying for everyone, for our government, for our neighbors, our neighborhoods. Lord, have your way in us. Help us to be that light that you would have us to be, to draw men and women, boys and girls, to you, dear God. And we give thy name the praise. All the glory and all the honor is thine. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. And good morning, everyone. Good morning, friends and family. Thank God for another morning. I was looking at Psalm 51. A very common, familiar, popular scripture, a very popular psalm. And I want to read certain parts of it. I may not read it all the way straight through, but I'm also reading from the King James Version. And it says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." And the first two words, have mercy. You know, the Lord had mercy on us when he sent his son. His son came, and his mission was to save his people from their sins. He sacrificed his life on the cross of Calvary that we might have the right to the tree of life. And it's according to his sacrifice that God has mercy upon us, that he looked upon the blood of his son and forgave us of our sins. You know, we have to acknowledge that and accept it. And believe on him and trust him. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you repent of your sins, have faith in God. You know, he said he'll save you from your sins. And so David is confessing in this passage and asking for forgiveness of sin. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have sinned. So we must confess our sins And the Lord is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So David is asking for mercy because he knows that the Lord is loving and he's kind. The Lord is full of tender mercy. And he's the one, excuse me, he's the one that can blot out our transgressions. Excuse me. And the second verse, he says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgressions. He's aware that he has sinned, and so he's acknowledging it. He's confessing it. He saw what he did. He knew what he did was wrong. But we have this sin nature that we need to be cleansed from, that we need changed. So he's asking for forgiveness and for a change. He's asking to be cleansed, to be washed. And as I read down further, excuse me, my goodness, as I looked in the notes of my Bible, because it is the, I think it's the Amplified, you know, it is the King James Version, but, excuse me, it has explanations and it goes into history to help us understand the context, what context the scripture was written in. And as I read down in verse, let's see, which one is that? Also the one I just read, verse 2, and then down in verse 7, it says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Now they say that hyssop, that was a cleansing and a purification herb. So in the natural sense, but David is taking it to the spiritual, that he needs to be cleansed. He needs to be purged. And hyssop, since it's a cleaning agent, you know, the Lord has his own cleaning agent. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And we know that, but he is asking the Lord to wash him. He says, wash me. And then the explanation says, the Hebrew word for wash is not the one used for the simple cleaning of a dish in water. Now, here's the part that really got to me. But rather the washing of clothes by beating and pounding. Beating and pounding. So when David uses this wash me, it's telling us in this context that they didn't have, you know, we have washing machines, but the washing machine in its own sense beats and pounds and agitates, you know, the clothes to get them clean. Here is using the sense in the cleaning of clothes, not in the cleaning of washing a dish. You don't hit your dish to wash it because you might break it if it's not plastic. And even with the plastic ones, you don't really hit them to clean them. You don't do that. But with clothes, you have to be more forceful. You have to beat the dirt out. The dirt has to be beat out. The dirt has to be pounded out because it gets into the fibers. It gets into the fabric in between the threads. So now it has to be beaten out. So he's saying, wash me. And they're saying, it's rather the washing of clothes by beating and pounding. David wanted a thorough cleaning from the sin nature. Isn't that amazing? You're going to have to let go some things. It may even feel like it's been beaten out of you. You're going to know the change if the Lord is doing the washing and the purging. You cannot wash yourself. You can abstain from evil. That means stay away from it. Don't do it. But God has to take that sin nature and change it. And verse 8. Well, let's do verse 7 again. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow. When we see the fresh snow fall, before anything has touched it, it's glistening. It's so white, it's shining. It's like a crystal glare on it. It can be blinding, even, or appear to be blinding. So we know that if God is doing the washing, he's going to make us whiter than snow. Isn't that wonderful to know? And then in verse 10, after he's asking for the cleansing and the washing and the purging, he's saying, create in me a clean heart. Now that denotes the heart is not clean. The heart is not pure. So now, Lord, only you can create a clean heart. Only you can change the heart of man. Only you can take that stony heart and take it out and give a heart of flesh. Put in a heart of flesh that's easily pliable in your hands, dear God. And he's saying, and renew a right spirit. Renew a right spirit within me. Praise God. Renew a right spirit. That's a spirit that is after God, a spirit that God can only give you. You know, there's a lot of evil spirits, so we have to be purged and cleansed from those evil and wicked ways. You know, iniquity resides in the heart, and God wants to purge our heart. God wants to change our heart. He says, create in me a clean heart. Wow, create. That's something new. And that says your heart was not clean, your heart was not pure. And then 11, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. I love Psalm 51 because it's put us in a place and in a state of humility, realizing that we need God, realizing that we have a sin nature and it needs to be changed, realizing who can change it for us. Well, we have to go to him and acknowledge him and confess our sins and our faults and ask God to do the work in us. And God can do the work in us. He's the one that can cleanse and change and wash and create and purge and make anew and refresh and restore. He's the one that can make us to hear joy and gladness. So we go to him. We go to him, we ask him, and we thank him. We know we're grateful to God for being that one that will keep us, lead us, and guide us, and direct us. We just have to be willing to let the Lord have his way in our lives. So I just want to encourage everyone to hold fast to God. And if you don't have a hold on him, get a hold on him. Talk to him. He hears you. Direct your attention to him. Place your focus on him. Get into your quiet and or your secret place. And talk to God. That's what prayer is. And let God talk to you. And that's what prayer is. It's a communication. It's a relationship with the Father, with the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, everyone, to keep God first in everything you do and say. Be blessed, my friends.